Gospel passage for this morning comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. So we move from the Ten Commandments to maybe one of the most difficult passages in Scripture, where Jesus goes into the temple and overturns the tables and scatters the money everywhere. Let us listen together for God's word. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, but the sheep and the cattle, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. God bless the reading and hearing of this, God's holy word. Let's be together in prayer. God, you confront us with texts of terror. Help us to hear this morning, and to see and to understand. Help it to move from our heads into our hearts and into our lives. Amen. I know it's early. I know we're down a bit of sleep. But I'm going to have to just say the words anyway. Mission statement. Right? Don't go to sleep earlier than normal. Just stay with me a little bit. But mission statement. Now, on the back of our bulletin, almost every Sunday of the year, we print our mission statement. But of course, because this Sunday I'm talking about it, it didn't make it on there. We had too much on the calendar, so it didn't fit. So the mission statement isn't there, so I'm going to read it to you this morning. The mission of the United Church of Underhill is to be a Christian community, offering spiritual growth to all and responding to the needs of people according to the teachings of Jesus Christ. We are in covenant and connection with the people of the United Church of Christ and the United Methodist Church. So, hold that in your minds for just a minute, and I'll talk to you about our church council. So, our church council is our church governing body, sort of our executive committee. And it is made up of Brother Kurt Belton, who is our council chair, and the pastor, which is currently me, and then representatives from the various ministries all send, ministries send representatives. So, trustees and stewardship and nominating, etc., etc. So what we do is we gather once a month to talk and to communicate and to discern and to make some decision about our church's future. It has become a tradition over the past few years to have what's called an all-ministry meeting once a year. So what's an all-ministry meeting? An all-ministry meeting is the first church council meeting after our annual meeting. So annual meeting is at the end of January. And at that annual meeting, we elect folks to serve on the various ministries for the next year. So at the all-ministry meeting, which is the first council meeting after annual meeting, we invite not just the representatives from the council, but all of the leaders, all of the folks who will be serving on the various ministries. So we ask them all to come, and they gather in the church basement for two reasons, basically, from what I can tell. The first one is administrative and practical. We gather to have the new folks meet the old folks if we need to do that. By old, I just mean people who have been serving in previous years. Nothing to do with age. They exchange phone numbers and email addresses, and they decide when they're going to meet for the coming year. But the other reason that we meet at the all-ministry meeting is to gather as a group of church leaders to think out of the box, to think in sort of bigger terms than we normally do, to think not about tasks, but to do some visioning about the life of our church. What have we been doing? What are we doing? And what is God calling us to do in the future? So in February, we all met together at our ministry meeting. We put up our mission statement, and then we discussed it before. We discussed it, and we watched a video called Celebrate What's Right with the World. So after we watched that movie, we read the mission statement, we broke up into groups of maybe four or five, and Kurt charged us with considering four questions for discussion. And those questions were these. And they're related to the mission statement. So how are we being a Christian community offering spiritual growth to all? How are we responding to the needs of people according to the teachings of Jesus Christ? How are we living into our covenant and connection with the people of the United Methodist Church and the United Church of Christ? And we asked about the mission statement itself. Is our mission statement still relevant? Is it still useful for us at the United Church of Underhill in 2012? So we discussed those in our small groups, and then we came together as one whole group, and we had a fruitful and interesting conversation about our mission statement. When we were all done, Kurt charged us with going back to our various ministries and starting off our meetings with maybe a 1 or 2 minute conversation about one or maybe all of those questions. And we were to do this for the whole year, and that at our council meetings, we would take that information that we had gotten from, or the conversation from our various ministries, and to talk about that at council, and sort of have that conversation go on over a long period of time, and to reach as wide a group of church leaders as possible. So, why? Why would we do such a thing, Kurt? I mean, we've got things to do, we've got tasks to perform, we've got things that we think God is calling us to do, we've only got so much time, and we've only got so much energy. Shouldn't we spend our time on mission and outreach? Shouldn't we spend our time on doing those things that help people in our community? Why would we take all of that time and energy to do this sort of institutional navel-gazing? Why would we do such a thing? Is that important? Is that relevant? Why bother taking all that time to do such a thing? Right? So Jesus tells the story in the gospel passage this morning. John tells the story in our gospel passage this morning about Jesus, who was in a place called Capernaum, which is near Bethsaida, which we talked about last week, on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus was there with his brothers and his mother and his disciples, but then the time came for Passover celebrations. Passover is the great Jewish feast where the people celebrate God's deliverance of them out of Egyptian slavery. And the tradition was that all males who could make the journey were to journey to Jerusalem and to participate in the religious observances and festival that was going on there. So Jesus, being a good Jew, he makes his way to Jerusalem from Capernaum, and he does what most people did. He went to the temple. You see, he gets there, and he's in sort of the temple courts, working his way further and further into the temple, and you know what he discovers? He discovers animals milling about, and he discovers money changers. This is where the text gets really sort of difficult for us. He takes a whip. I made a little whip there for us to see. He made a whip. And he cracked that whip, and he chased the animals and the animal keepers out, and he turned over the tables of the money changers, and the money scattered everywhere, and he yelled at them and said, "You are turning my father's house into a marketplace." In this season of Lenten passages that are difficult, this one is particularly difficult. Jesus is angry. Right? And he's argumentative, and he is violent even. This isn't the turn your other cheek sort of Jesus. This is the violent and angry Jesus. And he's confusing too, right? Because after he chases everyone out and he turns over the tables, the temple authorities come to him and say, what are you doing? By what authority are you disrupting all of these Passover celebrations and interfering with the work of the temple? What are you on about, Jesus? And he answers them in this sort of strange way. He says, "Well, destroy the temple, and in 3 days, I'm going to raise it up." I mean, he was talking about his death and his resurrection. He was talking about the temple moving from the building into the person of Jesus Christ, but they couldn't see it, they couldn't understand it, and they were confused. And when we read this passage today, we see anger and arguments and violence and confusion, and it's unsettling for us. It was unsettling back then, and it is unsettling for us today. What is Jesus doing here? It helps to have a little bit of background. First of all, the animal sellers were in the temple for a good reason. You see, people making their way to the temple, many of the pilgrims coming from a long distance away, they were required to make sacrifices of an unblemished animal. Now, if you're coming from 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 miles away to the Jerusalem temple, and you're trying to get an animal there unblemished, good luck to you, right? This is difficult. So the animal keepers were there, and they were selling these animals to the pilgrims as a convenience, as a service, really. And then the money changed. It's good to know, too, about the money changers. The money changers were there also for a very specific and valid reason. You see, you had to pay a temple tax. And the temple tax had to be paid with money that was fit for the temple. But the problem was that lots of money of that day, lots of coins had pictures of emperors and kings on them, and they were unfit for temple use. So you would come in, and you would give your unfit money, and you would exchange it with the money changers for a fee, of course. For money that was fit. It was probably Tyrian half shekels. Right? You're going to remember that at the water cooler tomorrow. For some reason, the money of Tyre was fit. I guess it didn't have pictures of people on them. So that was fit. So you would pay your money, you would exchange it for these Tyrian half shekels, and you would take that money, and you would go, and you would pay your temple tax. It was one-stop shopping. It was convenient. It was a service that they were providing. But when we read this story today, we're sort of all ready to grab that whip along with Jesus and chase everybody out. Man, they're making the church a marketplace. Those animals are dirty, and they're cluttering up the place, and they're just getting in the way. Of course, Jesus should chase them out, except for life was hard back then. And these people just wanted to be faithful. They just wanted to do what God wanted them to do. They just wanted to fulfill their religious obligations and to do the best that they could. They were like us, just trying to do the best with what they had. The money changers and the animals were there as a service, and there was some corruption there, you know. I'm sure it was like buying the $8 hot dog at the baseball game. I mean, so you have a captive audience, a little bit of gouging, a little bit of corruption going on, but they were also helping the people who needed to be helped. So it wasn't so straightforward, it wasn't so cut and dry as we imagined. Why is Jesus so darn upset about what he experiences there? I think he's upset because the operation that had been creeping closer and closer into the heart of the temple was moving the focus away from God and onto the religious process, the religious machine that had grown up. It wasn't anything that was terribly wrong. It wasn't off by a whole bunch. It wasn't horribly egregious. It wasn't terribly wrong. It wasn't off by miles. It was off by just a few inches. Scholar W. Hewlett Glower offers us some insight here about what's going on. The ways of the world, he says, invade the church gradually, subtly, never intentionally, always in service of the church and its mission. Soon the church is full of turtle doves and money changers. So why does Jesus get so mad and so violent? Because he sees that the people are losing their focus a little bit. And so he turns over the tables and scatters the money everywhere because they had missed the target by not a mile, but by just a few inches. But because everything was fine, everything was practical and reasonable and rational, the service was set up to help the people. When Jesus critiqued them, it was sort of, why are you taking the time to do this? Why are you bothering to, there's other things that we should be critiquing rather than this. This is working out. What's the problem here? You see, I think the way it works is like this. We're like frogs. Remember, in the pot of water. And the water's cold, and we don't really realize that the temperature is rising as it does gradually. It's warm, and the frog is still happy. It gets hot and the frog still doesn't even really realize it, but then the water starts to boil and the frog is boiled alive. It's too late. So Jesus comes into the temple, into the place where they had missed things by a mile, but just by a few inches, and Jesus turns up the heat so that we frogs jump straight out of the water before we're boiled alive. about a different time and a different place and a different religion and a different set of circumstances. That's not about us, and it's a critique that's being made by Jesus, who is our own. So it's easy to deflect those and say, you know, that's not about us. We want to say, go get him, Jesus. We want to grab our whip and crack it and chase him out. Those are evil sinners. They got it all wrong. They got the whole thing all messed up. But we, on this side, we understand what Jesus is up to. We think it's the right thing to do to go get him, Jesus, we say. But it's possible, maybe. But this isn't a critique about a long ago and far away set of circumstances. Maybe this is a critique, too, about 21st century Vermont. Maybe even about the United Church of Underhill, which is a little close to the bone, isn't it? Temperature's starting to heat up a little bit when we start to think about Jesus maybe critiquing us even, because it's possible that we're not perfect. Maybe. It's possible that we're being faithful, doing the best with what we have, being rational and reasonable and practical, and in the middle of all of that, we have forgotten to focus on God and Jesus Christ, which is the reason that we're here in the first place. It's possible that we've missed the target, not by miles, but by just a few inches. After all, the ways of the world invade us gradually and subtly, never on purpose, always in service of the church. So our gospel passage for this morning has some questions for us, maybe even some critiques of us if we let it in. So if we let it, this passage will lead us to ask, where are those places in our church life together where Jesus would grab the whip and crack it and go right at the leaders, right at the pastor, right at us because we've missed the mark? Where are those places, we might ask, if we let this passage in? Where are those places in our little ministry corner, whether it's stewardship or nominating or trustees or right here in this worship space, where might Jesus crack that whip and, as my brother says, give us what for? Where in our own lives, if we let this passage in, will it critique us as falling away and moving away, not by a lot, but just by a little, which is all it takes, it seems, to get Jesus angry and to have him turn up the heat so that we frogs will jump straight out of that water before we're boiled alive. Now, if we let, you see, if we let, this passage has some things to say to us, to teach us, for us to act upon, and it may even transform our life together. So right here in the middle of this sermon, we're going to sing just a little bit. I'm going to invite you to grab your hymnal, number 451 in the New Century Hymnal. We're going to sing together verse 3 of Be Thou My Vision, and then we'll close. Spiritual growth. How are we responding to the needs of people according to the teachings of Jesus Christ? How are we living into our covenant in connection with the United Church of Christ and the United Methodist Church? And about the mission statement itself, is it relevant? Is it useful to us at the United Church of Underhill here in 2012. Now, I know we've got lots of things to do, lots of tasks that are calling to us, lots of important things that we're involved in, and this will take a few minutes at each meeting and a few minutes at council, too, but you know, the ways of the world invade the church gradually and subtly, always in service of the church, and pretty soon we wake up and find there's money changers and turtle doves in the church. So maybe this exercise is exactly what we need to let the critique in, to really listen to what Jesus has to say to us, to make sure that we're missing the mark, not by a mile, maybe just by a few inches, that we might move to going exactly on target. Not so that we can have a nice institution, not so that we can have things run smoothly and we can feel good about ourselves, but always so that we can be followers of Jesus Christ, bearers of the good news into the world. I think this passage has some things to say to us now and for the whole year and for our whole lives, if we let it in. Friends, if we let it.